Good morning. Please open your Bibles to the book of 1 John, chapter 1, for the text of our lesson this morning. 1 John, chapter 1. I'm just going to take verse 7 right now for the text, but we're going to begin studying shortly in 1 John 1, verse 3, and study down through chapter 2, verse 2. We will look at a few other passages to help us understand what we're studying there, but what we're going to be studying from is primarily the book of 1 John, chapter 1. So I hope that you'll open your Bibles there. 1 John, chapter 1, verse 7. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. That's the reading of 1 John chapter 1, verse 7. Just this past week, I was talking with some folks about sin in our lives, and they had a common, I believe, misconception that people have, which is answered in this chapter. One is that we just cannot keep from sinning. Some say we can't go through one day without sinning. Brother Edgar Dye used to talk about a man that he knew that said he knew he couldn't drive across town without sinning. And Brother Dye told him, you need to start repenting. And I believe that's a pretty good answer to that. But that's the misconception that people have that is borrowed from the Protestant idea that we have a sinful nature, which is not taught by the Scriptures, and that we just it's just a part of it's like breathing air. We just go on sinning all the time, and then people that believe that, if they want to have any hope of salvation, have to come up with some way that we're automatically forgiven without repenting, and all of that is in this chapter. The entirety of it is answered, and the correct thing is shown to us as far as the attitude that we need to have. And so I call this lesson The Christian and Sin. What is the relationship between a Christian and sin? And this is what John takes care of in the book of 1 John chapter 1 down through chapter 2 verse 2. Before we begin to see that, let's see John tells us in this chapter two different reasons for which he wrote the book of 1 John. He repeats some of that, or he tells us more at the end of the book in 1 John chapter 5. John wrote the book of 1 John to show Christians, it's written to Christians, to show us the basis of our fellowship with God and with one another. In 1 John chapter 1 verse 3, he begins by saying, and I know I'm breaking in the middle of a sentence, but if I went all the way back to the beginning of the book, it'd take me more time than I want to take to comment on what he says concerning the testimony that he and the other apostles were given concerning Jesus Christ. But he says, that is Jesus Christ, and the we is the apostles. That which we have seen and heard, they saw the Lord. They heard the Lord. We declare to you, you as Christians, as plural, as Christians, as us, that which we, the apostles, have seen and heard, Jesus Christ, we saw him, and we declare to you. Why? Why did the apostles declare Jesus Christ to Christians? That you also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship was with the Father and with His Son, Christ Jesus. The word fellowship means sharing. Anytime you see that word fellowship, think sharing. Sometimes we say joint partnership, and that's fine. Or just partnership, because if it's partnership, it's joint. But it's sharing. Sharing in something. On the basis of the testimony of the apostles, we share with the Father, and we share with His Son, Christ Jesus. We share in the blessings that come from them, chiefly, and John's going to tell us about this, eternal life, the blessing of eternal salvation. We share that in Christ Jesus, and we share that from the Father through His Son, Jesus Christ, on the basis of the testimony of the apostles that is recorded in the New Testament. I've diagrammed that this way. At the top of the scale is the Father who sent the Son. And the Father was working through the Son, and He and the Son have perfect unity with one another to the extent that they're called one, even though they're not the same person, but they have perfect unity. And so they have a fellowship. They share in the work of salvation. He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, who in turn, as He was getting ready to go back to the Father, sent His apostles. And He has fellowship with them. He's working through them. The work that they do is the work of Christ. What they say is the words of Christ. Those who believe them believe the words of Christ, believe in Christ. Those who reject them reject Christ. So the apostles were sharing with Christ. But the apostles want us to share with them in the things that come from the Father through His Son Christ Jesus by the work of the apostles. Now, what do we share Him? Well, the things that come from God are eternal life and also the work that we do. The apostles were doing the work of Christ. Christ was doing the work of the Father. And so we share in the work of the Father, the work of Christ Jesus, and we share in the blessings that come from the Father through Christ Jesus, and that sharing is on the basis of the testimony of the apostles recorded in the New Testament. Now, we're going to see later on in verse 7 that we have this sharing with one another, and I might say when I preach a sermon on the universal church, I use the same chart again because this is the only tie that all of God's people have all over the world. It's not any ecclesiastical tie of organization with some organization tying all Christians together all over the world. The only tie that we have in Christ universally is the tie of fellowship, sharing in the work that God has for us to do, and sharing in the blessings that come from Him. This morning I gave to one of the members of the church here some pictures that were taken in Malaba, Kenya, which is on the border with Uganda. And I've been there a couple of times. And a picture of a preacher there and his family and their new house, which now instead of a one-room mud house that his father lived in, they have a two-room brick house. For him and his wife and their seven children. And I don't know if his father's still alive or not. But there's a sharing going on there, but you don't know that man. His name is Boniface, and the man that took money from here and got that house erected is named Henry Ogutu, and he lives in Bungoma, Kenya. And I've been in his home, and I've worked with him in Western Kenya, and he's a dear friend of mine, but you've never met Henry. And you've never met his wife, Pamela. You've heard me talk about her. She's the one that had the brain disease, and she almost died, and also had malaria and almost died. And I've worked with them, and I've been in their home, and I love them dearly. But you've never met them. But you're in fellowship with them. And it doesn't mean you sent them any money. It doesn't mean you're in an organization together. But Henry and Pamela and Boniface and his wife, they're doing the work of the Lord in Kenya. You're doing the work of the Lord here. So you're sharing and doing God's work, though you don't know each other. You've never shared money with each other. You're not in any organization. You're in fellowship with each other. You're sharing with each other. And you're sharing in the blessings that come from God through Christ, chief of which is eternal life that comes through Christ Jesus. Now that's what the book of 1 John is about. And that's what 1 John chapter 1 is about, to show us how we have that fellowship with God and with His Son Christ Jesus. And it's through the apostles. But it's also to give us joy. You know, if you know that you have fellowship with God, and you know what that fellowship means, that ought to cause joy. And that is the chief blessing that we have in Christ Jesus. It is the blessing that continues into eternity. We enter into the joy of our Lord, as Jesus talked about in Matthew chapter 25. And so in 1 John chapter 1, verse 4, he says, "And these things we write to you that your joy may be full. We can have fullness. Joy is the feeling that all is well. And you know, there's people that I'm looking at in this audience that have health problems. There's people I'm looking at in this audience that have financial problems. There's people that I'm looking at in this audience that have all kinds of problems. And you're looking at a guy that has problems too. And we all have problems in this world. In this world you shall have tribulation. That's what Jesus promises apostles in John 16. Tribulations are things that press us down. We have things that press us down. But in this life, in this world, in the midst of things that press us down, we have joy. Sometimes we talk about we have joy in our tears, but that's literally true. The feeling that though things press us down and though things oppress us, all is well with my soul. As the song says, it is well with my soul, regardless of the great tribulations that we... And so that's the reason John wrote the book of 1 John, that by knowing the fellowship that we have with Christ and with his Father through the apostles, that we can have the joy that surpasses understanding, the feeling that all is well. He repeats himself in 1 John chapter 5, verse 13, and he shows us the chief blessing which we share, the chief result of that sharing, that fellowship that we have in Christ Jesus. As he draws to the close of the book, he says, "These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God." He doesn't want your faith to grow cold because of the lack of the realization of the blessings that we have in Christ. That you may continue to believe in the Son of God, and that you may know that you have eternal life. Now, we have that eternal life and hope at this present time. But it is such a sure hope on the basis of the sure promise of God, the God who cannot lie, and God who confirmed his promise with an oath, that we can say we know that we have eternal life. I believe that I can say, and I hope that you have the ability to say the same thing. I believe I can say, if I die before I wake in the morning, I will spend eternity with God. And I don't know about you, but that just gives me a joy that is overwhelming. A feeling that all is well with my soul. And I can say to Satan, bring it on. Whatever you want to oppress me with, bring it on. Kill me, bring it on. Because if I die today, I have eternal life. I have the joy that comes from knowing I'm in fellowship with God through his Son Christ Jesus, by the testimony of his apostles. And that should give us the joy that it takes to face the tribulations and the sufferings of this life. Now then, what's the basis of that fellowship? Notice, above all else, the fellowship that we have is with God. And it's based on the nature of God. We must understand God to understand the fellowship that we have with him. In 1 John chapter 1, verse 5, this is the message which we have heard from him and declared. Here's the testimony upon which we have fellowship with God. This is the message we've heard from him and declared to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. Now, we must understand that in order to understand the fellowship that we have with God through Christ Jesus. Stop and think with me for a moment. What's your concept of God? Your concept of God will determine the way that you live. The pagans conceived of the gods in their own image. They had the same foibles. They had the same failures that humans had. And so how did that affect the way pagans lived? They lived the same old grossly immoral lives that they would have lived if they didn't believe there was such a thing as deity, because they made gods in their own image. Now, if you think that God is Santa Claus and that he loves you so much that he doesn't care what you do, he's still going to bless you with eternal life, you're going to live a grossly immoral life. God's not Santa Claus. He loves you. And that is indeed what John says about God. God is love. But the inspired writer of the Hebrew letter tells us that our God is a consuming fire. He's also righteous and holy. And he demands of us holiness. Our conception of God will determine the way that we live. And, now listen carefully, the way that we live will determine whether or not we have fellowship with God. Do you like to be around people that you have nothing in common with? Or do you like to be around people that you have lots of things in common with? Well, the more I have in common with people, the more I enjoy being around them. Now, some people are so materialistic in their outlook. If somebody has different color skin, they don't like to be around that person. I would say grow up and get over it. Be more like God. He doesn't care what we look like on the outside. He cares what we're like on the inside. What we ought to be concerned with is what's on the inside, just as God is concerned with what's on the inside. So God wants to have people spend eternity with him who are like him. Well, I need to be like God then. Well, what is God like? God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. Well, what does that mean? Well, John tells us what that means. But first of all, before we see as he tells us what that means, we're going to see that our walk must be the way God is. In 1 John chapter 1, verse 6, if we say that we have fellowship, that we share with him, and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. God is light. In him is no darkness at all. That's not how God walks. That's how he is. God lives above time. He is above time. And as God is always the same, he never changes. He is eternal light. I walk through time. If my walk through time is characterized by darkness, I don't have fellowship with God because he's sharing with people like him. And if I'm going to be like him, if I'm going to share with him, I've got to be like him. My walk must not be characterized by darkness. Walk is the way we live. It's a passage through time. It's an overall description of my life, the way that I live. Light is what God is. All right, now what's the difference? Now, by the way, one other thing before I talk about light and darkness. And that is that if I'm going to say I'm in fellowship with God and I have eternal life, but my life is characterized by darkness, my life is a lie. I'm living a lie. I'm acting out a lie. I'm claiming one thing and living a different way. All right? So if I'm going to be able to truthfully claim that I have fellowship with God, then my life, the way I live, must reflect how he is. I must walk in light, not in darkness, as he is light, and in him is no darkness at all. All right. What are light and darkness? Right? Darkness is ignorance and evil, or ignorance and sin. Let's go to the book of John to confirm this. In John chapter 12, the same writer, just a different book. John chapter 12, verse 35. Jesus said to them, a little while longer the light is with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness overtake you. He who walks in darkness does not know where he is going. All right? So what's that? That's ignorance. If you don't know where you're going, you're ignorant. Is that right? So darkness is ignorance, not knowing where you're going. All right, now go over to John chapter 3, verses 19 and 20. And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light, and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. So light's good, and darkness is evil. So what is darkness in 1 John and also in the book of John? Darkness is ignorance and evil. And it's simply this. If your life is characterized by ignorance and sin, and you claim to be walking with God, in fellowship with God, your life is a lived lie. You're claiming one way and living another way. You're not in fellowship with God. You can claim whatever you want to claim. But as long as you're living in ignorance and sin, you are not in fellowship with God, because God is light. In him is no darkness at all. But now, going on to the what the light is, in John chapter 3, verse 21, but he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen that they have been done in God. So light is knowledge and doing good deeds, doing those things that God requires of us, walking the way, living the way, God, righteous deeds. So light is knowledge and righteousness. Darkness is sin and ignorance. If we are to have fellowship with God, our lives must not be characterized by ignorance and sin. Our lives must be characterized by knowledge and righteousness, living the way God would have us to live. All right, so we can't walk in darkness and at the same time truthfully claim to have fellowship with God. We cannot live in ignorance and sin. All right, now the means of our fellowship with God is walking in the light, the way that we live. 1 John chapter 1, verse 7. This is a very controversial passage. And I can tell by looking at the clock, I'm going to get started on this and have to stop and finish this next week. I hate to do that. But unless you want me to keep you about 12:15, so I don't worry, I won't do that. But go ahead and look at 1 John chapter 1, verse 7. But I want you to look at it and take it for what it says and believe it for what it says and don't read into it things it doesn't say. All right? If we walk in the light, walking is the manner of life, the way that we live. It's an overall view of our lives. If we walk in the light, how? As he is in the light. Keith didn't put that in there. John put that in there by the inspiration of the Spirit of God. How is God in the light? In him is light. There's no darkness at all. How much ignorance is in God? None. God is all knowing. How much sin is in God? None. God cannot even be tempted to sin. Now, how must my life be? If I'm to have fellowship with God, I must be walking in the light as he is in the light. Now, friends, take the verse for what it says. Don't worry, John's going to explain himself more later, and we're going to look at it more, so maybe this gives you a reason to come back next week. And we're going to look at what he says that explains it more. But what he's saying right there is, my life must be as free from sin as God's existence is if I am to have fellowship with God. I must walk in the light, the way I live, as he is in the light, the way he is, if I'm to have fellowship with him. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. My brain just exploded. What do you mean? What sin? If my life is as free from sin as God is free from sin, what sins are there to forgive? Well, he's going to explain himself, and we're going to see what he's talking about. And I'm sorry I'm going to run out of time on this. I'd explain it all. I'd let John explain it all today. But there's two things that come from walking in the light. One is I have fellowship with God. And the other is that the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses me from all sin. Now, I want to stop right here and introduce a false doctrine, and I'll answer it next week. Going to this verse, brethren have said, if our lives are generally characterized by obedience, then those sins that we commit that we may not know about, sins of ignorance, are taken care of by the blood of Christ even as we commit them. That's called the doctrine of continuous cleansing. Now, if that's true, then the less you know, the better. Think about that. Because if I know it's wrong, then I have to repent of it. But if I don't know it's wrong, my ticket's punched. Don't read to me what the Scriptures say. I don't want to know what the Scriptures say. The less I know, the better. If I point out somebody's sin to him, I did him a disfavor because now he's responsible for what he did. Don't tell him he's wrong. Just let him go in blissful ignorance. Ignorance is not bliss. Ignorance is darkness. Ignorance will not save us. And by the way, where does John characterize sins or make a distinction between sins in 1 John chapter 1, verse 7? He says his blood cleanses us from all sin. When my brethren talk about continuous cleansing, they were, you know I said a bad word, it just slipped out, I didn't mean to say it, but I did it inadvertently. That's a favorite word they use, is inadvertently. Sin's what you choose to do. You don't do it inadvertently. And so God just, it's just taken care of automatically. Does that passage, 1 John 1, 7, look at it in your Bible. Does it make a distinction? It's all sin. It's not just letting bad words slip out. It's adultery. It's murder. It's drunkenness. It's every sin in the category of sins. They're all taken care of by the blood of Christ. If we walk in the light, and we're out of time. And I hate that so badly, but we're just going to have to stop right here. Will you come?